You're listening to a 1FM podcast. Hey, we're here again with Steve. I've got Steve for another Whatever Happened To. How are you going, Steve?
Yeah, very good, mate. Yeah, mate, we're still surviving the lockdown, but we've only got another couple of weeks to go and we might have a bit more freedom, but who knows? We'll see.
Well, hopefully. We've got fingers crossed. So, yeah, what can we do? But who you got for me this week?
Well, I've got a very, very talented gentleman to talk about this week, which most of our listeners, I dare say, would have heard of in some capacity at some stage. Lee Hazlewood.
Yeah, I've heard of Lee Hazlewood. A lot of songs with Nancy Sinatra, didn't he?
Quite correct. That's what he's best known for, but he had a bit of other talents in other areas too, as we'll find out shortly.
Well, that's good, because I think I know a lot of his songs, but I don't know much about him personally, so this will be interesting.
Yeah, he's an interesting man. Now, I've started off here, I put a talented songwriter, singer and producer, and I think you'll find that that's the case. He was born Barton Lee Hazlewood on the 9th of July 1929 in Manford in Oklahoma. He spent most of his time in, most of his youth in Oklahoma, Arkansas, Kansas and Louisiana. His paternal grandmother was actually Native American, and as a teenager he lived in a place called Port Neches in Texas. I'm not sure about the pronunciation, but he was in Texas there, and he studied for a medical degree in Dallas. He didn't pursue that because he went to the war in Korea, and once he came back from there, he decided that perhaps that wasn't going to be his forte. He worked as a disc jockey in Arizona, and 2 years later, he moved to Phoenix, and he was already writing songs, and he formed his own music label, which was called, well, it's got Viv. I don't know what it's pronounced. It's just said as V-I-V or Viv, but we'll go with V-I-V. That's okay. He partnered guitarist Duane Eddy, and people would be familiar with Duane Eddy way back in the late 50s, early 60s with that twanging guitar sound. And he produced a lot of his songs and co-wrote a lot of his songs also. And I worked it out, it was about 15 that he actually wrote and produced for Duane Eddy, and these were songs which included Rebel Rouser and 40 Miles of Bad Road, amongst others. There were quite a few other very, very good ones also. But those for me with Duane Eddy would be able to relate to his twanging guitar sound. And this was developed by Lee Hazlewood by encouraging Eddy to use the bottom strings of his guitar and create an echo this is unbelievable, I've never got my head around this one. He used an empty grain silo outside the studio with a microphone and speaker inside.
Wow, that's innovative.
Very innovative sound, I must say. However, as we will find out now, he's best known to me and millions of others with his singing partnership with Nancy Sinatra. And this began when Frank Sinatra asked Hazlewood to help boost Nancy's career. She was in a bit of a bind and not going too well, so Frank called on Lee to try and help him out. And after writing and producing these Boots Are Made for Walking, which of course everybody knows and was number one everywhere in the world, he actually made the comment to her, he said, "No more nice Nancy, you have to sing for the truckers." Now, you can interpret that in any way you like, and I think there's another version of that particular statement which we can unfortunately put to air. But anyway, she later described Lee Hazlewood as part Henry Higgins, of course, who's from My Fair Lady, and part Sigmund Freud, who was a famous psychologist. They didn't have any romantic attachment, although Nancy said she had an awful crush on him. But he happened to be married at the time, so nothing ever happened. But there's another little story here which I thought was quite interesting. When they were on tour, Nancy didn't like to be alone, so they shared a dressing room. But Lee Hazlewood, in the dressing room, preferred to walk around naked, which Nancy didn't mind, but begged him to put on some underwear. So there you go. There you go. I thought that was a very interesting story. Now, I've got here, he wrote at least 14 songs for Nancy, and we all know quite a few of them, including Boots, Sugar Town, How Does That Grab Your Darling, and duetted with her on classics which he wrote, such as Summer Wine, which we'll be hearing from later on, Lady Bird, Some Velvet Morning and Sundown, and amongst others. Another favourite of mine is Jackson, which he didn't happen to write, but their version of the song is very good. He produced Frank and Nancy Sinatra's number one song, Something Stupid, or Stupid, if you want to pronounce it the way they do, which remains the only number one father and daughter duet to hit number one in the US. And he also wrote Frank's single This Town, which appeared on the 1968 album. Now, the connection with Nancy and Frank goes a bit further from a film point of view, in the fact that he wrote the theme song for the 1966 spy spoof, Last of the Secret Eight, that I've got here, Marty Allen and Steve Rossi, people I'm not familiar with. And Nancy recorded the soundtrack, and also I think he wrote the theme song for the movie Tony Rome, which Frank Sinatra starred in, and Nancy again performed the theme song. And I think the stars of Tony Rome have got Jill St. John and Richard Conte. Well, now I don't know whether you're familiar
with that. And Gina Rowlands was in it as well. Yeah, both sort of spy movies that I haven't seen, but not really sure I want to, but it could be interesting.
Yeah. Well, they were 60, I think that's 66 and 67, and I think that they were sort of the type of things that were going on along with the James Bond.
Yeah, I think James Bond was very popular, and there were a lot of sort of spoofs of James Bond, looks like this one, and there was a Matty Helm series as well, but having seen one Matty Helm movie, I don't particularly want to see many more of these movies.
Well, there you go, but I think that was the trend in those days anyway, so, you know.
Yeah.
I think we've moved on a bit from there. He also wrote Houston, which was recorded by Dean Martin in 1965, and he produced several singles sung by Dean's daughter, whose name was, she a very original, Deanna, and recorded and produced a few songs for her also. In the 1970s, he moved to Sweden for 10 years, concerned that his son might be drafted for Vietnam and also for tax reasons. So he produced a one-hour TV show over there which proved to be very successful. And then he was basically semi-retired from the late 70s, but he developed a cult status in the underground rock scene with some of the songs recorded by, amongst others, Vanilla Fudge, Primal Scream and Nick Cave. He also sang on Bella B's first album, which was called Bingo, in 2006, and just said that he loved producing and writing albums. In 2004, he also made the comment that I write songs with double and triple meanings, and I can tell you that the song Sugar Town certainly has another meaning apart from the sweetness and light that it actually provokes. But I won't go there because people can look that up for themselves.
It's probably best, yeah, we don't actually.
I think most people will know what I mean.
Yeah.
He passed away actually in 2007 from renal cancer, and he survived by his third wife, one son and two daughters. But he also made the comment before he passed, he said, I've lived a pretty interesting life, not too much sadness, a lot of happiness, lots of fun, and I didn't do too much of anything I didn't want to do. Well, his third wife, Jean, had described it just a little bit differently, I might add. She described him as rude and sweet, innocent and depraved, and proud and bitter. And he absorbed everything he heard, saw and read, and then made his own music in his own defiant way. Well, I don't know, two completely different different types of opinions of oneself and someone else's opinion of that person, but there you go.
Well, they both sort of sum him up well, I think.
Yeah. I put here, he's a fairly complex character by the sound of it, and I think to write the songs that he did with some of the lyrics that came out of it, I think you've probably got to be a bit complex and a bit out of left field. One little footnote which I wrote here, I thought this was very interesting, that he had a granddaughter, and they called it Phaedra. And now those familiar with Some Velvet Morning will understand why.
Yeah, it's referenced Phaedra. Yeah, that's interesting.
That's right. So, Josh, I've got an order list of about 10 songs here, but I'll nominate just one for you, and perhaps we can work on the others in another time, or I might leave it to your discretion. I'd like Summer Wine, if you wouldn't mind.
Absolutely. I love this song, so I'm happy to play it.
Good man. Thank you.
And here it is, Nancy Sinatra and Lee Hazelwood, Summer Wine. Yeah, and a great song, and I can tell that he's got such a unique, deep voice. I can see why the underground sort of music scene liked him.
I'll put it, look, he's just a wonderfully talented musician and producer and singer for that matter. Well, I thought the voice was very unique and certainly listenable too, so... And very enigmatic, obviously, but like as we said before, I think probably you have to be able to create that sort of music in both from a producing and a writing point of view.
Well, it's a voice that grabs your attention straight away. You sort of want to know more about it as soon as you hear it.
Yeah,
like,
That's true. I was just going to suggest, Josh, perhaps I've written down a couple of other choices, but I wouldn't mind having these particular two songs played, but then I'll leave it up to your discretion as to what you might want to do later on. I'd like Jackson, which is not a song he actually wrote, but he did sing the duet with Nancy. I quite like that one. And Some Velvet Morning, which is a very unique sort of song.
Yep, and we can do both of these, and we'll do them now after the Swanters break. But thanks, Steve. Another great one. I love Lee Hazelwood. It's good to know more about him.
That fascinating character, and one of the more interesting people I've had, been able to work on, I must say.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to talking again next week, and we'll have another interesting character, I'm sure.
No worries, Josh, and to all the listeners out there still doing it a bit tough, hey, it won't be long now. We'll soon be looking on the bright side, I'm sure. That's all the best to you and the listeners, and we'll catch up soon.
I look forward to it. The weather's getting brighter at least, so yeah, we all should hopefully be brighter soon.
That's good, Josh. Look forward to catching up next week, mate.
Take care. Thanks. Have a good week. And that was Steve, and we'll go to a quick sponsors break, and then we'll be back with some more Lee Hazelwood. You're listening to 1FM.
You've been listening to a 1FM podcast.